Let's come before the Lord in prayer as we open up his word before him. Lord God, indeed, with your word open before us, we pray indeed, Lord, for our hearts and minds to be open, to read and to understand and appropriate your word to our lives as well. We pray, Lord, and I pray again for this message, Lord, that it be a message of encouragement to build us up in our most holy faith. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Australia, the financial year ends on the 30th of June, not like here in New Zealand where it's the 31st of March. I was reading in the Australian newspaper a couple of weeks ago, and such, at the end of the financial year, there was in the finance section of the Australian newspaper there of one of the particular big corporate companies in America, in Australia. And this CEO of the company, he'd been employed by them to build up the productivity in the company. And so he'd signed a contract for 5 years, and they were to pay him $135 million for the five-year contract, plus a productivity bonus, whatever that was. However, and such, it was written in the paper that the directors of the company had decided that production that year was not as good as what it should be, and so therefore, and such, this poor fellow was going to have to struggle through the year on $27 million without a bonus. I was also reading in the paper quite recently in Australia as well, and so it's in there that they send delegates across, and so they're to a climate change conference quite recently over in Europe for a week. And Australia was quite well representative. They sent across 75 delegates, bureaucrats, for the conference. I think the common word for that would be called a junket. And we can read about all of these things and we can rail against it for what we see as being injustices. And I think that when we read this psalm here of Asaph and such there, you can sort of get the tone as to where he's at, where he's looking around in the world and seeing all of this injustice around him. And he writes here, doesn't he, and such there in these first three verses, and you can see the way how it had got to him. It was dragging him down when he saw all this injustice. Well, he says in there, truly God is good to the upright, for those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. He was looking back on what had happened to him because of this bitterness, this injustice that was taking hold of his life. Because he says in there in verse 2, that for me, my feet had almost stumbled. He's looking back in past tense as to what had happened and as to how God had graciously responded to what he saw in the world and how it was dragging his life down. And you see, this is one of the things that we see with Asaph, which is the case, I guess, for all of us as God's people throughout the ages and such there, that we look around at what is going on in the world and we have a tendency to want to look back on the good old days, or we become embroiled in what we see as injustices around us. And it causes us to take our eyes off the Lord. And we see here and such there in verse 2 where he said that he'd almost lost his footing. The man here is being perfectly honest before God. And that's something that we must also do. And then in verse 3, and such there, as he goes through this, and such in verse 3, and obviously, and such there, it had really got to him, because we see there in about the next 7 or 8 verses, he tells about how he was envious, he saw the prosperity of them, the wickedness of them, everything. Now, of course, instead of speaking about this CEO of this company, I'm certainly not denigrating him as being wicked or anything like that. And such and that there, but it's just seeing the injustices of it, of what we see and sets there as to what is truly valuable in the world. And this had got to him. And of course, there are two things that we see that is a trap that we can fall into today. And that is, in such there, we can look back on the good old days. Oh, things weren't like that in the good old days. As most of you know, in such sense, they're coming from Australia, in such there, I grew up I spent a lot of my time in my early years in such north of Brisbane on the Sunshine Coast in a little sleepy village, fishing village called Caloundra. My sister still lives there. And people have asked me at times since I was there, would you ever want to go back there? When I go back, and I was over there quite recently, of course, to catch up with my family and went up to Caloundra to see my sister, and it was over a long weekend. It was good to spend some time with her and such there, but over that long weekend on the Monday, I drove around Caloundra and such for over an hour from one beach to the other trying to find a parking spot for my car. And so when I go there now and I look at it, and the Caloundra that I grew up in and such there is absolutely nothing remotely like the Caloundra that exists today. Boardwalks and the clanking sound of cappuccino machines on cafes everywhere about the place. And I think, oh Lord, what have they allowed the people to do to this place? And it's almost with a sense of resentment when you see what it was to what it is now. I often think in such there of people in such there, perhaps in such here in New Zealand, that the earlier residents probably in Queenstown or places like that, and you look at it with the condominiums and everything everywhere. But that's life, and life goes on, and you can't live in the past. Don't let it drag you down. And we can see here and such with Asaph and such there that the situation that he had from there when he looked at it, rather than looking in the past, he's starting to look about his relationship with the Lord. Because obviously his relationship now is not right with the Lord. Because when we look down further there after all of this complaining that he's making about the wickedness in the world and everything from there in verses 13 and 14, he starts to speak about his service to the Lord. Now Asaph was the leader of the formal worship within the temple. He was their music director. And he'd been doing this for years, and you'll find a number of the psalms and such there. These psalms are all composed in such a way and such that to be sung. Even today in such there, some of these psalms and such, a lot of them are psalms that are sung, the Psalter. And so he's looking and thinking about this and such there, and this is all his service for the Lord, and he's thinking from himself from there, doesn't that count for something? All of this service that I've done for the Lord, and look at what's happening around me. In other words, he's taking the focus off the Lord and putting it on himself. What about me? And he needed to get that relationship right first, before he can then start to look to see what's happening in the world. He's allowed the world to drag him down into comparing what the world has to what he has, and what's the true relationship that he needs to have with the Lord. Don't let the world drag you down. And so what's the present? And so what's the remedy for this? When we look in these verses here now in 16 and 17, look at what he says. When I thought about how to understand all this, it seemed a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God and then I discerned therein. You see, there in God's sanctuary with that word of the Lord before him, as he would have been the case and what he would have done repeatedly for the years, now Asaph realized that he needed to get his relationship with the Lord right, because that was clouding his judgment. The world was clouding his judgment and his understanding. In other words, in such and from there, what he got was a true evaluation of things that are in the world. And he began to see things from God's perspective. In God's sanctuary, he sees that you can never make a true evaluation of what is happening in this present world unless it is seen in the light of eternity. I'll say that to you again. From God's sanctuary, he sees that you can never make a true evaluation of what is happening in this present world unless it is seen in the light of eternity. What do I mean for that? What I mean is this, and so it's there. God's Holy Spirit gives us the gift of seeing things. Not necessarily in dreams or in visions. God the Holy Spirit gives us that true perspective of the world. And what the perspective is that we discern about what we should value most in the world. We come into situations in our life situations and you speak to people and such and there who've got, critical diseases of cancer and such and that, and only given a certain amount of time to live. Their values change completely, as ours should ours and such there, that all of a sudden and such and what you have as worldly possessions don't really count for much anymore. And you find that the true value is in relationships. That's the lesson that we all have to learn. The relationships with the Lord comes first. To put things into its true perspective. You see, the lesson is that we don't look to the world for answers on how to deal with the world's injustices, or what we see as injustice. Don't let the world or Satan drag you down to their values. God is saying, I am your strength. I give you my discerning spirit. Look to me first before you look to the world. So it is with God's Spirit within us. Asaph saw and knew and drew his strength from God as his provider for his present circumstances, for the right here and the right now and what's happening in the world. Because he sees here, there, if you read in verse 23, he says, and the assurances that he now has, yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You know, as we know in the New Testament, and so there, and you read in Matthew's Gospel, at the end of Matthew's Gospel, and what we call the Great Commission from there, and such there, where Jesus commands and says that we are to go into all of the world and preach the Gospel, etc., etc., from there. One of the things, as we read that from there, we should continue on reading to the last verse. Because in verse 20 he tells you something that is the assurance for all of us of what we do. And he says, lo, I will be with you always to the end. Now look at verse 24. Asaph looks to the Lord to go before him then. Because he's got to leave the sanctuary of the temple and go out into the world. You guide me with your counsel. You guide me with your counsel in the world. And that's what it means to be living in with the presence of God in your life. And so it's there to guide you with your counsel in the present world, outside. And we do that in such a way with security, because he continues on, because he knows that his eternal salvation is secure, because he knows that he has a God he can trust. Don't trust the world. And with that assurance, for that presence that he has, he can then look to the future, because he continues on then in verse 24, and he says, "And afterward you will take me to glory." He knows that he has a God that will trust him for everything that's going to happen in his life through all of the problems in life, but he knows that he has a future. And really what you see there in those two verses, in verses 23 and 24, basically in such there is what the Christian life is all about, isn't it? God with us in the presence and a guarantee of the future. And so then, of course, Asaph, he answers that question and such from there, obviously, and such there, because he now knows and such there before the Lord that he's got his relationship right with the Lord. But he can then look to the future. And he gives an evaluation then of all of life's situations and the past of what has happened and the present and what he values most and such there, because he then comes down in verse 25 where he says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you." His relationship with the Lord comes first. First and foremost. I think that that was one of the teachings of Jesus to the disciples, wasn't it? And such there, where he said to them, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." In other words, you get this relationship right. And when that one's right, you can understand what's happening in this world. Why we need to have this right relationship with God. And God is our strength. Reading fairly recently in Australia, of course, in it they're having a big discussion and such there, or negotiations with America about purchasing nuclear-powered submarines. I was reading that back in 1963 in America and such there, they had trialled a new submarine called the USS Thresher. And out on trials off Massachusetts, something had gone wrong with it, and it had sunk. And it had sunk down into deep water. And of course, the pressure of the water upon the hull of the submarine was such and such there that it crushed it. I think there were something like over 170 men on that submarine at the time, and they all died. Later on, when they went down and just there to find the actual submarine with one of these special bathysphere type things, and they saw the submarine there all completely crushed. The thing that amazed them was, if this submarine is completely crushed in as it was from there, how come in such an order of the dark there are fish still swimming around? Why are the fish able to swim around with all of that great pressure upon them, but the submarine with all of its reinforcement crushed? And you see, what they've discovered and such there in their analysis and such there of their examination of the fish is that what happens and such there in a way as part of God's creation is that within the fish, and such there, within its biological makeup from there, that as it goes deeper into the water with the external pressure from it, from there, the fish is able to produce a pressure equal to the outside pressure of the water. It's why sharks and whales and such are seen to dive to great depths. How can they do that and not be crushed? It's because God has created within them the ability to be able to build up a pressure equal to what the pressure is that's put upon them from the outside. That's the wonders of God's creation. And you see, what God has given to us with the gift of the Holy Spirit is that strength within us, internally, to know and to understand the pressures of the world that are put upon us. And that's why Asaph is saying in here, don't take your eyes off the Lord. And that's what he says there in verse 26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The Apostle Paul in Romans, and that's there he writes at the end of the at the end of chapter 4, that's there he writes to them, and he says to them there, it is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised from the dead, past tense, but then speaks of the present and says, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us, in verse 34. And then tells of the future, who can separate us from the love of Christ, in verse 35. This is the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, to deal with all of the world's situations, not to be dragged down into it, comparing our relationship with God with all of the false vanities of the world. And the one thing that we do have in such there is a certain future. We don't let those present circumstances drag us down. We look to the Lord Jesus in the present and the author and the perfecter of our faith and our future hope. And as we think and we meditate upon those things, now, let's stand together in such that we can sing our final hymn, Trust and Obey, and then remain standing for the benediction.